Hello, everybody, and welcome to a bonus episode of the It's My Party podcast. This week, I am sitting down with my three friends, Paul Peterson, Alexander Jeffrey, and Joel Froome, to talk about the film that we made together called A Chance Encounter. Alexander was the director. He was the writer, the producer. Paul was my fellow co-star. He also produced and wrote part of the film. And Joel Froome did the cinematography on the film. We sit down and have a great chat about so many different parts of making this film. We answered your questions. And yeah, overall, it was a great time. And I think y'all are going to really enjoy the special bonus episode. Thank you so much for listening. And without further ado, my friends from A Chance Encounter. Alex, Paul, Joel, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. It's My Party. This might be the first and only time that men are allowed on the podcast. So very special. You know, it's a female-only podcast. So yeah. I'm kind of breaking the rules for this special episode. I have asked the fans a bunch of questions. They are excited. But before we get into that, I want to start with each of you just saying who you are, what you are, like why you are a part of this film, how this came to be. So, Alex, you want to start?
Sure. Yeah. My name is Alexander Jeffrey. I'm the director and co-writer and one of the producers of A Chance Encounter. And yeah, I've been sort of dreaming this up for years, and we finally got the opportunity to make it in 2019. And that's sort of how it came to be.
Cool. Joel?
I'm Joel Froome. I was the cinematographer of A Chance Encounter. And when Alex said, let's go do a movie in Sicily, I was like, yeah, boy. Yeah. And hey, I'm Paul Peterson. I am the co-writer, producer, and your co-star of A Chance Encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Poetry critic. The poetry critic.
Oh, and I guess I wrote the original poetry for the film as well.
You can't forget that.
Yes, you did. Yeah, I've been getting a lot of questions in these interviews, Paul, about how our chemistry is so great. And I just don't even know how to answer it. I just feel like it's such a profound connection. How does one even put words to it?
What do you say? What do you say to them when they ask that?
I'm just like, oh, yeah, we've been friends for a really long time. And, you know, he's kind of a special person. I sort of let them decipher what I mean by that.
It is a perfect description, though.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Other people have said that you remind them of friends they knew in college who were in Cedar.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I know. Well, like I've had some friends watch the film before it's released, of course, since we're still, you know, waiting at this point for it to be released. And they've said that about you, that you remind them of their friends in college, which I thought was funny. Okay.
So is that like a bro? Like a dad? Or what is that? What do
you mean? You know, I'll ask him. I'll get back to you on that. Okay. One of the questions that we got was, what was the inspiration of the film?
Yeah, it's kind of a long-winded thing, so I'll try to keep it brief. But I wrote like an old draft of this back in 2014 after I got to make a movie in Sweden where I met Joel and kind of caught the bug for making something overseas. And then I kind of sat on it for years because, to be perfectly honest, it was terrible. The original script, let's just be blunt about it.
Well, and like, what was the concept of the original script? Was it anything like A Chance Encounter?
It was the only comp is that it was two people set in Tuscany at the time. It was two people in Tuscany talking a lot. Like that's literally the only comp. Like,
and it was bad? I'm confused.
I do think, like, from my memory of reading that first draft, it was still people that were at a stage of their lives that were kind of like, you know, they were kind of counted in their stage of their lives that was they could kind of help each other, that help their chats and stuff. So I do think that was sort of paralleled a little bit.
Yeah, but it had nothing to do with like the creative process or music or anything like that. It was just, it was more of like a 20-something movie, you know, me trying to get my feelings out on paper as a, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, so the sort of the revisiting of it, I think, came like after we started doing music videos together, Andrea and Paul and I started working together, and it was like, I love music driven movies like Once and Inside Llewyn Davis. And, you know, Before Sunrise has always been a big inspiration for it, and kind of revisiting it from the lens of the creative process and knowing that it would be a music driven film and that it would be the two of y'all. And that's kind of where the new one came from.
That's really cool. One of the other questions a lot of people had was, what is your favorite scene? So I sort of want each of you to answer what your favorite scene is from the film and why.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Sure. I think going up to the hill on the top of, like, when Paul complains about going to Narnia, and then they get to the top there, and just like it's their first sort of like, and it's also because, like, you two riff a bit to finish it off, like when Paul says, like, I wrote it and like, you know, how he wants proceeds from the, you know, from writing that song. I think for me, that whole scene is a really, I love the scene. Like, it was spectacular up there, but it was also like the first sort of this friendship between you two felt really natural, and like, and it was really starting to, you know, be something, you know, really close friends. So yeah, I think that one to me is the first one that comes to mind. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that one is really beautiful. I remember that as well, just being, I mean, the views are just out of this world. I mean, there's nothing like that in America. Alex, what about you?
It's tough. Yeah, it really is. I think I have to go with the ending scene, even though that's like nothing we shot in Sicily, which feels kind of like sacrilege to say, just because it, I don't know, it was fun to shoot something in Nebraska, and I really like the way that, I mean, that's my favorite song, Time and Space, and I love the way that scene just played out between the two of you so simply. But I think as far as like scenes in Sicily go, I love the montage to A Song for Katie, to Liars.
Yeah.
I just think it's fun because we got to shoot a lot of different locations and really show off some of the beauty the movie's so talky. And then when we get to that moment, it's like, we could just get to be visual for a minute.
Yeah, totally. Paul, what about you?
I mean, I always kind of feel bad on stuff like this because I'll say the same answer and you guys hear it each time, you know, but other people don't. But I still think my favorite scene is the first alleyway scene after we get off the overlook.
Yeah,
it's just so special to me, especially because, you know, we originally had a concept for that to be at one of the entrance gates. And then it just ended up being incredibly busy. People were walking by, and then all of us just started looking for alleys. You know, for some reason I didn't even realize this until we saw the edit where it's like, you know, the poems about Honey Gold, you know, street lamps, Luca. And then we separate, and there's just a couple of those lamps like around the alleyway as we go our separate ways. And I just thought the creative process to get us to that alley. And then I thought, I especially loved your acting in that, Andrea, like, aww, seriously, I feel like that was our first time, at least on screen, looking kind of relaxed around each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what about you? What's your favorite scene?
Oh man, I don't know. Probably the driving. I feel like that's where I really shine.
Didn't realize it was sarcastic answers.
No, I have a lot of favorite scenes.
Love driving, yeah.
I really like when I play music. No, I'm just joking. No, I also really like that scene you talked about, Paul. I loved when we were at Sabica. That was amazing. Yeah, beautiful location. I feel like I have to watch the film again to really know the scene that I like the most. I mean, I really like that opening scene that we shot on the last day. I felt like it was sort of fun to be able to do that at the end and kind of pretend that, you know, we had never met. I thought that was really beautiful that morning too. So I don't know. I have a lot of favorite scenes.
Yeah, that was cool. Where you guys had to say your goodbye, like do your goodbye scene and then your meet scene back to back.
So yeah, weird. That's
always a fun thing I like to tell people, is fun trivia for this.
That was Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One person wanted to know how the three of you have stayed friends for so long.
Oh, gosh. I think it's that we all have, you know, very similar likes when it comes to taste, when it comes to movies and projects. And I think we've just kind of all developed, you know, we developed a creative relationship, and then we've gotten to know each other's, you know, like I've gotten to know Joel's family and watch his kids grow up, and, you know, like, they're both in my wedding, like, you know, Paul's my best man. I think it's just that, like, we have a kind of a synergy from a creative standpoint, and then also just like have become to, we've just grown to care about each other and, you know, what's happening in each other's lives, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's
how
cool.
How many you guys say that you've actually worked on together? I mean, I know I've been on a majority of them.
I've been on most of them.
At least a dozen, right?
Yeah, yeah. More. Probably over 20 now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, between short films and features, I mean, they've collaborated on like 20.
Because the film we did in Sweden was in 2013. So
that's crazy.
So we're coming up on 10 years, and basically it's pretty much been nonstop then. So
yeah. Wow.
That's incredible. And I've only been on one of them. So wow.
Well, and we've done music videos for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that one more time, and I'd like a larger laugh so the audience thinks that joke landed. No, I'm just joking. No, you guys have been on music video shoots, and that's amazing. Thank you. One fan wanted to know what the best meal was that each of us had in Italy.
Easy.
Is it your daily arancini, Alex, or was it something else?
No, it was when the chef came to the villa. And she made that rice, the pistachio.
She made pistachio
rice and pasta.
Pistachio risotto.
Yeah.
Oh, that, my God.
I haven't forgotten about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the best bread I've ever had in my life. Whatever she kind of bread she made was just so good.
Oh, do you mean like the fried dough balls?
Yeah.
Okay, Brett makes those all the time, and we call them Nonna balls because Nonna is Italian grandma. And he just like made them.
That's awesome.
They're so good. Okay, Joel, what about you? What was your best meal in Italy?
Well, I think like mine again was probably when we were at the house, like the old Sicilian nonna.
Yeah.
Like the last night she made this lasagna, which is unlike anything I've ever had in my life. Like it was just mind blowing. But I think my best meal that we had like out and about was right after we did the scene where you were at the bar with Elizabeth. I went to that restaurant next door and I had like a lemon lobster risotto or something wild. It was just mind blowing. Yeah,
right by the bar back there.
Yeah. I mean, the answer really is pretty much everything. Like it's really hard to.
Yeah.
It's like they say in the movie, you know, like can you get a bad meal around there? And the answer pretty much is no.
Yeah, it's so true. The food is incredible. Paul, what about you?
I mean, honestly, aside from, I guess, Nonna, who came and made her food, I would choose the meal that I eat. When I say that line, is there, you know, the food's just a bad place, you know?
Tony's place.
Pasta was just so good. Mm-hmm. So I guess when the audience watches it, I'm legitimately on cloud nine eating it. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I can attest to that. Was very little acting on your part and very real. Yeah, you know, I was trying to think about it. Do you remember the night that, I think this might be the same place that Joel was talking about, but do you remember when I got hit in the head by lamps and then we all went to dinner? That was the best meal I had.
That was like over by the gate.
Where was that? What restaurant was that?
I can't remember, but it was like that back down behind. Over by the gate. That was really good food.
Yeah, we got to figure out all these restaurants and like link them into some sort of like Molto Bella or a Chance Encounter blog or something.
Yes.
That last thing I just said gets me to the next question very well. Why did the name get changed? People want to know.
Oh, yeah.
So
if we can say, we can cut this out. Okay.
No, it's fine. So when we were, you know, getting distribution offers for the film, we got a couple, and some of the other companies that wanted to distribute the film didn't want to change the title. And Samuel Goldwyn was the only one that said, we want to distribute this film, but the only way we're going to do that is if we change the title to an English title, because we're worried that, you know, North American audiences are going to think it's a subtitled movie and less people are going to watch it because of that. And so like for us, it was definitely, you know, swallowing the pride thing and knowing that I think this is the best thing for the film to get more eyeballs on it. And them saying that made me feel like they were really going to get it out there in a way that these other companies weren't going to.
And did the other companies ever say anything about changing the name, or was it just Samuel Goldwyn that sort of talked about it?
It was just them that brought that up. And that's why I think, you know, even though it was something that we didn't want to hear, it felt like, okay, they know what's going to do the best for the film.
Yeah. Huh. I think a lot of people sort of have wanted to know this. I haven't gotten a specific question through the questionnaire thing I did 2 days ago, but I've kind of gotten this question from a lot of interviews I've been doing, and it's sort of the question of how did you start with an indie film, and how did you go from making that film to getting it distributed through a place? If you can sort of just give the listeners a bit of a quick class on how this happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a lesson in serendipity. Years ago, a producer named Kristen Mann came to the El Dorado Film Festival that Paul and I run in El Dorado, Arkansas. And she is like an incredible producer. She's had films at Sundance. She's just killing it. She's producing Meg Ryan's new movie right now in Bentonville. And so, you know, years go by, we go off and make this film and we premiere at Heartland. We played a bunch of festivals and nothing really came from those festivals, but we did a screening through the Arkansas Cinema Society in Bentonville at Crystal Bridges. And she just so happened to come to that screening because she had just moved to Bentonville. And she saw the film, fell in love with your music, fell in love with the film. And she said, hey, I really want to help you guys get this distributed. My film was just distributed by Samuel Goldwyn. I'm going to reach out to them and reach out to a few other companies and see if I can help you get offers on these. And so it's really because of Kristen that our film got picked up the way that it did. And so we're incredible. And she's an executive producer on the film now, and we're incredibly grateful to her.
Yeah, that's amazing. Very cool how that worked. It does seem with these types of things, like it is a bit of the Wild West, like it can't be replicated. It can't be followed. It's just sort of like the general ideas of put stuff out there and take as many opportunities as you can are sort of the things that are true in being successful. But like, how can you ever tell exactly how to do this? You can't.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And I think if there's people out there looking for advice on this, it's just patience. And you know, being a nice person, don't be a jerk, make as many connections. Don't become friends with somebody because you think they're going to help you. Become friends with somebody because they're an awesome person and you're a fan of what they're doing, and you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's such great advice, Alex. And that's so sweet to become friends with people because you want to become friends with them. That's a good thing for me to remember. So
you know, some people like know that people are like big time in the industry and they try to like choose up.
And people always know when that's happening. It's so awkward. Yeah. Okay. One of the questions was sort of, what were the logistical problems with shooting in Italy, and what were things that were, I promise someone did ask, this is not me just trying to get this out there. And then like, what were the benefits of shooting in Italy? And I kind of want each of you to answer this question because I feel like you'll all have a really great perspective on this. Well, you start.
I think some of the logistical issues, it's like, like as a cinematographer, you want to be really prepared before you go to do a movie. So it's like you want to know the sun path in every location so you know what time of day you can shoot there. And you want to know, you know, how much, you know, whether you can bring all your gear to each location. And with this, you know, we kind of just had to just go with the flow. And, you know, each location would kind of get there and just figure out where are the angles we can shoot. And then sort of, like, luckily a lot of the stuff faces the same direction in that part of Sicily that we were in. So we kind of knew where the sun path was going to be, but we just kind of had to rely and hope that we could find the right angles when we got to each location, because we couldn't pre-scout. You know, like Alex was able to go over there luckily like a month before. To kind of get a bit of an idea of some of the locations. But it was like the story that Paul said, you know, like when the alley was really busy, you know, we just had to, like that, the archway, we just had to run around and find a new location that sort of worked. And that's part of the fun and the chaos of making a film like this. But I mean, it also isn't that normal to make a film with, what, like eight people or so, you know, like not that many. So it was a little chaotic to try and wing every scene, like when we go into a new, like when we went to Savica, you know, like to find like, where are they going to have the stop? And so we just sort of walked and chat, but that was a really refreshing creative process to kind of, you know, like just talk it out instead of plan it months before and talk, you know. It was challenging, but it was rewarding as well.
Yeah, that's so cool, Joel. And honestly, the film looks amazing. Like, it looks so beautiful. Your work on it is incredible.
I mean, I'm very lucky because, you know, it is so spectacular there. But a lot, you know, the, like Logan and Lance and the guys that work with me there, and then Andrew French, the colorist, did an incredible job. I'm going to give him a shout out for making it look just so, you know, giving it such life and film grain over the image just to give it real depth. But yeah. It's a wisdom.
Totally. Yeah. Thanks for giving them a shout out. Paul, what about you?
There were a lot of, I mean, So for people who don't know how Terramita works, essentially you have to park outside of two gates. What is it? East gate, west gate, something like that. That leads to a corso, like a big walkway. And so it's kind of almost in a way an enclosed city in some aspects. And so we'd have to park, you know, in a parking garage, or if we were on the opposite side of town, trying to find parking and then just carrying equipment around, you know, cause we did have limited crew. Andrea, I mean, you're lugging around your guitar everywhere. Plus sometimes a lens case, or sometimes, you know, just everybody was,
I mean, my clothes changing outside in parking lots.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And you know, that was kind of cool, but yes, that was a bit of a challenge, at least, you know, for me. I mean, I always hate talking from an acting standpoint. It's like, you know, to focus on my character and this and that. But there were times where I didn't really feel like I could actually, you know, take a breath and just be like, huh, okay, here we go. Plus, you know, driving a manual all the time through the cities and this and that. So
narrow streets.
Yeah. But yeah, I would just say overall, like parking and, you know, lugging equipment around. And yeah, there was one time where what's the Italian word for restaurant? You remember?
I don't.
Well, anyway,
we'll link it below.
Mr. Otto,
that was a joke.
It's called something different, but I remember we were trying to Google map to a place, to an Italian place to meet up with everybody for dinner, and we legitimately were Googling
Ristorante? Just like Ristorante.
Well, we thought the name of the restaurant they were going to was actually the Italian word. Oh, no. We're just Googling this word, but that meant restaurant. Things popped up and we're like, where are you? So anyway, and stuff like that, you know, like actual navigation here or there was. So anyway, that's a long story short. But
and Paul, yeah. what do you think was like a benefit of shooting in Italy?
Oh gosh. I mean, it was just gorgeous. You know, yeah. I mean, I think that was nice because whenever we had a break, or like if I was ever stressed, I could at least just take a breath and be like, you're in Sicily. Like,
I do remember you doing that quite a bit.
Yeah. You're in Sicily, you're making a movie, you're doing your passion. You know, because I mean, it did get a little stressful here and there. I mean, Joel and Alex were in the train scene.
Do you want to talk about the train scene real quick to give the listeners a little fun story?
Oh, God.
And then we'll get to Alex's answers on this question.
Yeah. So essentially we had, Alex, you can explain, we had a permit essentially to shoot in Terramina, but you can't stop tourism. So it's just like, you're allowed to shoot there, but you can't block anything off. So we go down to the train station, which is like Giardini Naxos, or I can't remember. I think that might be it, but the permit didn't cover that train station, and we kind of knew it, but we did have our little form.
Well, it's the Terramina and Giardini Naxos train station.
Okay.
It said Terramina, but also the other place.
Yeah. But we could play, eventually we could play stupid, you know, and ignorant, just like, oh, we thought this worked for here, but it didn't. So we're in a train car shooting my phone call scene with my brother. And yeah, so they just have this camera set out in the middle of the aisle on this train car. And I'm just like stressed out. I'm like, someone's going to see the camera. I'm turning beet red. You could see when I get off that train, Andrew Francis, he's a genius, but he could not get rid of that red. Like I was like, oh my God. And they always get a kick out of when I'm actually really stressed.
Just like, no, we didn't sense it yet.
Yeah. But we did eventually get all the shots we needed before two guards came at the end.
Wow.
Let not count. You need to go. Just go. You can't do no more. And that was it. So yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. That is so stressful. Alex, what about you? Benefits of shooting in Italy, logistics of shooting in Italy.
I'll start with the benefit. So it's going to be shout out to two other people. So Richard Wharton and I got to go a month before to Location Scout, and we met this Airbnb host named Michele, who happens to know like everybody in Terramina. And so it was just total luck, and he was incredible. He was able to get us into all the restaurants that we wanted to shoot in, you know, help us basically film. Because it was, you know, we kind of knew we were going to be able to do the exteriors with our permit, but we weren't sure, like, how are we going to get into these restaurants to shoot, and how are we going to?
Yeah. And the restaurants were some of the only places where no one was there. Like, we had them to ourselves, which was a huge change from the rest of it. So that's cool. He was able to help us with that.
Yeah. He was incredible. And he gets a little cameo in the movie too, which was fun. And then, like, I think they've kind of covered, I mean, one of the sort of logistical challenges was that we could really only use the gear that we showed up with. That part of Sicily doesn't have really a film industry. So getting gear meant getting gear from like Rome or, you know, other parts of the island of Sicily. And it, so logistically speaking, we just had to use the gear. So Joel had like two lights.
Yeah.
You know, we had limited C stands that Joel and Lance could work with. And that, so, I mean, the film being so beautiful is just a testament to Joel's ability to work with natural light and, you know, have, he just has an incredible eye and the way that he was able to overcome the lack of gear, again, just kind of lends itself to the film being about the creative process and that kind of thing. Also, if really quick, I want to put in a little story because the first draft of the script, this is a logistics thing. The first draft of the script was all about like the ruin, like there was like this big scene at like the ruins, the Colosseum kind of thing where the characters just go sit there. And on our scout, we realized that it was going to be damn near impossible to film in that. And like,
why is that?
Well, it's a major tourist attraction and it's like, they have it. It's not as pretty as it looks in the pictures anymore. Like there's so many like railings set up and they do shows there and it is gorgeous, but like, I became like very cynical and got over that location very quickly. So I rewrote the script to like have Josie's character absolutely hate the ruins and she wants to show Paul's character other parts of the city. So yeah, that was kind of the reason for that is
interesting.
Yeah, we had to work around the logistics of not being able to shoot there.
I do think one other quick logistical thing was all that I thought was really interesting and funny was the fact that everyone, when they went on their pre-scout, they said, like, you know, the cruise ship stopped, what, November 1st?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, like, November 1st. Everyone will be gone.
Like, November 1st. It's place is going to be dead. And then it's like November 4th. And it's like a billion people. And then like, there's still a million people. Like, you said the place is going to be dead. We'll just have the run of the place. And like, no, we didn't. Like,
yeah.
That was a big, like, thing we had to work around.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like it was empty.
Yes.
Empty.
Andrew, yeah. you might put this in your answer, but I just got to say, when we were doing the Marlon Brando scene and then the tourists, like the lines of tourists just kept going through and then they even walked through the shot. And then one of them stopped us in the middle of the scene. Remember that? She's like, you guys are shooting a movie. It's like,
I could never forget that. How many people would be like, oh my God, are you guys shooting a movie? We'd be like, yeah, we are. Oh my God, what are your names? It's like, honestly, like, we don't need to do this. And it's just that. Yeah. Again and again and again and again.
as I'm wiping a tear from my eye after it, like, yeah, we're shooting.
Yeah. Oh no, I would say I think one of the big benefits of shooting in Italy was that I feel like Sicily was sort of a character in itself, and you're just not going to get that by picking, you know, a town in America. Like, obviously, no shade to places in America, but I think like. I think we really wanted the place to feel like it had its spirit of itself. And Sicily has so much more history. The architecture is beautiful. And so by being able to place this film in Sicily, we've sort of like kept it in a time capsule of like a very cool, unique experience to all of us. And something that American and Canadian, Australian viewers will see as like a special thing. If in comparison to if we just shot this in like Fort Collins or, you know, just found like a cute town in America. Yeah. And so I feel like the biggest benefit of shooting there is it's like part of the story and it's really integral to the story. Logistically, yeah, I think the thing that was toughest for me was it was sort of my first experience acting in a film and having dialogue to say and just having to do it in front of people. You know, like when you're in theater, you're performing for an audience. But when you're performing in Taormina and making a film, you're performing for 4,000 tourists and they're not there to see you, but like suddenly they kind of are and they have like this new vested interest in like watching these two people do a scene together. And that was hard. That was kind of intimidating as my first film experience, but I also am like used to performing. And so like, I wasn't as horrified as I think like, you know, I could have been.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you bringing up like just the texture of Sicily just made me think of Mount Etna too, and how,
oh my God,
the built in, like that we had a view of that from the villa that we were staying and shooting in. That was just, you couldn't like plan that. And it's just so, yeah, the environment and almost Etna as a character too. And in addition to Sicily as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that I think that really matters. Okay, let me see if there's any other questions on this list. A lot of people sort of want to know, like, where can they watch the film? Can they watch it if they live in Portugal? Where will it be released? So, Alex, could you talk about that real quick?
Yeah, so Samuel Goldwyn Films is releasing the film in North America on October 28th. It's going to be in limited theaters in the United States only. Samuel Goldwyn did pick up the film for worldwide.
I don't know when that's
going to release for other countries, but I know that they are working on it.
Yeah.
As soon as we get that info, we'll put it out there.
Love that. That's great.
Congrats on the soundtrack.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've got to say
that this movie definitely, I'm going to get a little emotional. Sorry. It wouldn't be what it is without songs and without poetry. So kudos to Andrea and Paul for killing it.
Thank you, Alex.
That's
really nice of you. Kudos to everybody, you guys. You made a film.
We did.
Yeah.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this special episode of It's My Party. A Chance Encounter will be released on October 28th. The soundtrack is out as of today, so check out the music, watch the film. It might be coming to a theater near you. The cities that it will be playing in are Detroit, Minneapolis, LA, Seattle, Chicago, and Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope you all are having a great fall season, and we will see you in the spring with the next season of It's My Party.